You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
And welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of the Future Brew Podcast, coming a little later in the week, but that is because we are now pretty much done with the early signing day. I know it's kind of like it's a 3-day period, but most of the action gets done on the first day, Wednesday. So we are recording this on Wednesday, heading into Thursday. And there was quite a bit that happened for the 2023 class, the opening day of the early signing period. Vaughn Lozon here, host of Future Brew on MaisonBrew.com, joined by John Simmons, our recruiting contributor at MaisonBrew.com. So, John, let's just break this down, man. I'll be just straight up with you, man. I mean, other than the two commits that we'll talk about, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, just to start the show here. This was a pretty standard run-of-the-mill signing day for the Michigan Wolverines. You don't really see this whole lot. Usually you'll get like a flip or a decommitment, whether it's good or bad for Michigan. None of that happened today. Aaron Gates was one of the couple, I guess, flip candidates. He has been committed to Florida for a really long time. He's a 4-star defensive back. And that was the one guy Steve Klingscale was going really hard after this entire cycle. He ended up signing with Florida, so there was no flip there. None of Michigan's previously committed players ended up flipping to a different school. So, John, really interesting signing day in the fact that, like, nothing, like, there wasn't really a whole lot of drama, I guess, outside of the one commitment that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But no drama, whether it was good or bad for Michigan, no flips, no decommitments, nothing like that. They signed all of their commitments on the first day of the early signing period. So everybody's all signed up. Everyone is, you know, they've got their plans, whether they're going to enroll early or they will wait until the summer. Everybody is all signed up at this point, John. So I guess just give me your thoughts about the fact that there was really hardly any drama on this opening day of the early signing period for the 23 class.
Yeah, I would say it's about as good as you could ask for. You know, there were some decisions that Michigan was waiting on, but they were pretty much considered kind of in the bag. There are some leaking ahead or a lot of crystal ball runs right before their decision that made it pretty obvious that Michigan was going to be the choice. So it was nice to pick up a couple of like blue chip commits, 4-star guys, but also not have to stress too much. Although one of the guys tried to create some drama, but I think it actually, in my mind, at least, only cemented the my thought that he would pick Michigan.
Yeah, I think so too. And let's just go right to that committed player now that you're referring to, and that is 4-star cornerback Jair Hill. Ended up committing to Michigan on the opening day of the early signing period here. Really, I guess the longest tenured, I would say, at the very least, a non-committed player in this class. Steve Klingscale, Jim Harbaugh, they've been recruiting him for a very, very long time. They offered him back on October 1st of 2021. And the one program that was recruiting him longer than the Wolverines was the in-state team, the Illinois Fighting Illini. They offered him a couple weeks before Michigan did in September of 2021. Despite all of that, and despite the fact that he committed to Michigan and signed with Michigan, he dropped a top five earlier this week. Really pulled a pump fake on a whole lot of people. It was Illinois, Purdue, Florida, Missouri, and Kentucky were in that top five list. So even though the Wolverines were not there, he went with the Wolverines at the end of the day. He is 6'1", 170 pounds from Kankakee, Illinois. Visited Michigan countless times, had other really good offers from the likes of Notre Dame and TCU, Oregon, Washington, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Auburn, Tennessee. The list kind of goes on there. He's number 195 overall on the 24/7 sports composite, number 24 at the cornerback position, and the number 2 player overall from the state of Illinois in this 2023 class. So really interesting end to this recruitment here, John, even though I said, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of drama on this signing day. This is, I guess you can call this drama because there was still some uncertainty, even though all of the crystal ball picks were in on Michigan. Even the Illinois insider was saying that he still thought Michigan had a chance in this. So really all of the tea leaves were reading Michigan, even though he flat out said a couple days prior, hey, this is my top five. Michigan is not in it. My decision will be one of these five schools. Ended up not being one of those five schools. So take me through your thought process here, John, as far as the way that this recruitment kind of unfolded towards the end of this 2023 class. It was really interesting in my mind.
Yeah, it was kind of just an attempt at, you know, I think kids nowadays, even more so, like with all the information with recruiting sites and crystal balls and everything, like it's a lot of mystery is gone on where kids are choosing nowadays. And, you know, some still want kind of that splash when they make a decision. So I just think it was kind of obvious when Hill didn't include Michigan at all in the top five that it was going to be a head fake, considering like no matter what happened between, you know, the end of the season and now, like Michigan was going to be in that at least his top five schools. There really wouldn't have been a reason for him to fall out. So them not including it all kind of screamed that it's going to be, you know, a hidden hat out of the table or something like that type of announcement. You know, unless it's, you know, like a Josh Christopher situation where he really didn't want, like he was mad that his decision leaked or whatever, and he wanted just to go somewhere that would completely surprise everyone. So I don't think we're dealing with that type of kid here, thankfully. So I think Jahyr Hill's a really good addition to the class at a big position of need. So this is a huge get for Michigan's class, and I think he's going to contribute pretty early for Michigan.
Yeah, I'll never fault a kid for wanting to build up some drama with his commitment and his decision on signing day. You really only get one of these in your lifetime. So if you want to kind of pull a head fake and, like you said, you know, get some more viewers on the YouTube stream or what have you. I mean, I'm never going to fault a kid for wanting to do that. He was just having fun at the end of the day. I'm sure some people out there will be a little irritated by what he did, but again, it's his decision. And at the end of the day, he picked Michigan. You can't really be too upset about it. But yeah, I mean, the fact that he left Michigan off his quote unquote top five list that he dropped a few days ago, it was clear as day he was going to pick the Wolverines at the end of the day. There's no way that some of these other schools in this top five list, like Illinois was clearly the number two school here. But as far as Missouri and Kentucky, Florida, I mean, Purdue was kind of an interesting one, just given the D coordinator at Illinois went over there to be their head coach. But it was Michigan and Illinois taking, you know, it was a head to head battle between those programs the entire time. But like you said, it's a really big addition to the class. He joins Cameron Calhoun, a three-star cornerback, and DJ Waller, another three-star. I guess you could say he's like a defensive back, whether it's corner or safety, that he plays at the next level. So that is your defensive backfield for the Michigan 2023 class. And I'd say it's a pretty good one considering where it was at just a few weeks ago. They didn't have any guys committed. And then Cam Calhoun dropped, you know, shortly after the Ohio State game. DJ Waller followed shortly after that. And now Jahyr Hill, kind of the crown jewel of the defensive backfield, joins the class. And I'd say you have a few pretty decent pieces to play with as far as cornerbacks and safeties go in this class. And, you know, we'll see if they go after more guys in the transfer portal, or perhaps there's a super late bloomer in the February signing period. I tend to doubt it. I would imagine that they go hard at the position in the 2024 class, but these three guys that they've got right now, I think are a pretty solid nucleus for what they could have in the future for the corners and safeties. Let's move on to the other commitment that came This was before Jair Hill announced his commitment to Michigan. This came Wednesday morning around 10 o'clock. It was one of the first big commitments of the day, just in general. And this was from four-star wide receiver Carmelo English. He picked Michigan at his school's signing day announcement ceremony. He chose Michigan over Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, and Jackson State. Those were his top five schools. He was committed to Auburn for a while and then decommitted, reopened up that recruitment. He took in a Michigan visit, a few of them, actually, before he originally committed to Auburn. He took his official visit to Michigan in June and then came back up to Ann Arbor for the Penn State game in October. Tried to get up one more time, but it didn't happen last weekend. So there was a little bit more intrigue going into this one as far as, was he going to stay down south and play for an SEC school, or was he going to come up north and completely go a different direction from what most kids do that are from the state of Alabama and go north and play in the Big Ten? And that is exactly what he is doing. He is 5'11", 175 pounds, number 178 overall on the composite, and the third receiver in this class. And I'm sure we'll talk more about just the nucleus of receivers in this class, John. But he's a really good addition, man. I mean, he can play in the slot. He can play on the outside. He had a really good senior season where he had 70 receptions for 850 yards and 11 touchdowns. And the season before that was even better. He had 18 touchdowns and 1,059 receiving yards. So really big playmaker coming to Ann Arbor, and it's not exactly the big-bodied receiver that Michigan was probably hoping for, but I think the way he plays the receiver position, I think it can kind of be made up for not getting like a 6'2 or a 6'3 guy in this class. I really like Carmelo English as a prospect, and I'm really glad he's in Michigan's class.
Yeah, I think he's a really great late pickup, and he kind of reminds me of Darius Clemens' recruitment last cycle, where Michigan was in on him early, got like that June official visit. Then the interest kind of dies off. In this case, English committed to Auburn, but you know, Michigan maintained that good relationship there. And when, you know, coaching, you know, Clemens was about to commit to Oregon, or when Mario Cristobal went to Miami, and this time Brian Harsin gets fired at Auburn, and Michigan takes advantage of the coaching carousel and swoops in and gets, you know, a quality, solid four-star receiver here that, you know, put up really good numbers, like you said, in a good state for high school football. So I think he's a really quality add and bolsters a pretty good receiver class overall for Michigan this year.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's talk about that receiver class that Michigan is building on in this 23 class. So obviously English is the highest ranked of them all, top 200 guy. You got to go down a little bit into the three-star range. I don't think Samaj Morgan is a three-star. I would personally have him ranked as a four-star, but the composite has him at number 486 overall. He's the 5'10", 175-pound receiver from West Bloomfield. He's been committed to Michigan for what seems like a lifetime at this point, but he is a three-star nonetheless. And then finally, to round out the receiver class, is three-star Frederick Moore. He committed to Michigan over the summer. He is 6 feet tall, 175 pounds. So again, like I previously mentioned, you don't really have a big body guy. Like, you don't have a Darius Clemens. You don't have an Amorian Walker. You don't have a Cornelius Johnson type receiver in this class. But the good news is you do have Darius Clemens and you do have Amorian Walker, two guys that really didn't play a whole lot their true freshman season. They're going to be around for a little while. So you've already kind of got that in the bank moving forward for at least the next two seasons. So in my opinion, John, not a huge deal that they didn't get a big body guy. Like, they were going after Chance Fitzgerald, who is a three-star guy listed at 6'2", 6'3". So he would have definitely fit that bill of the type of receiver that they were kind of trying to get. But at the end of the day, if you get a few guys that you really like, and I think they really like all three of these guys, and quite frankly, I do as well. I think they're all solid prospects. You can't really complain a whole lot when it comes down to getting a four-star guy on signing day and then two other receivers that you've had committed for quite a long time. So I think this is a solid receiver class. I don't like it as much as last year's with the two guys I just mentioned and then Tyler Morris as well, but it's still, it's a solid foundation and three really good pieces to the offensive weaponry that you're going to try and reload with when guys like Ronnie Bell and possibly Cornelius Johnson end up leaving after this season. So just take me through your thoughts on the three receivers that they have, because I really like all three of these guys, and I think they can have successful careers at the collegiate level.
Yeah, I've just always liked Frederick Moore throughout the cycle, too. I think he's a really solid guy. You know, he scored like five touchdowns in his like state title game, had a really good year catching the ball, returning kicks, playing defensive back for his team. So he's all over the place. And I think he is a guy that is really polished in his routes, is known for just kind of having a high floor. And I think he's a guy that you could see get into the rotation pretty early, too. So I think Michigan set themselves up well, too. They also got two good tight end commits as with Zach Marshall and Deacon Tonielli. I think Marshall's a little more upside athletically, but it still has a little ways to go. But both of them, I think, could also help in the pass game.
Yeah, agreed. I really like the tight ends as well. I think Tonielli has a whole lot of potential. I'm interested to see the type of tight end that Zach Marshall turns into. I'm also really interested to see what Kendrick Bell ends up doing at the University of Michigan. He is the younger brother of Ronnie Bell. He's a three-star athlete. The Michigan football Twitter account listed him as a quarterback, but I'm not sure if that's where he's going to end up playing necessarily. They're going to give him a shot at quarterback, it seems like, but I certainly would not be surprised to see him either at receiver or at defensive back at some point in the near future. I also really like, John, the running back stable that they have with Cole Cabana, the four-star in-state guy from Dexter, Michigan, who's also been committed for what seems like quite some time now. And then three-star Benjamin Hall. He didn't have the most stellar of senior years, but at 5'10", 225, he is the exact type of running back that Mike Hart, running backs coach, can turn into just a bruiser at the collegiate level. So I'm really excited about those guys too, kind of filling the need of running back, and it's going to be a need once again in the 24 class, but having those two guys on board signed up, and I believe both of them are going to be enrolling early too. That just gives them a leg up in the competition when it comes to really just filling out the depth chart going into the 23 season or the 23 season, I'm sorry, and just going into the future with all of that. It's really going to be important. And I like those two guys quite a bit. So any other guys or position groups you want to point out here, John? Because I really like what they've got going on here. They've got the number 17 overall class on the composite. It's not the highest ranked class by any means of the Harbaugh era, but lots of really solid players.
Yeah, I think on the defensive side, I think the edge defensive line class is pretty good. You know, Ed is the highest ranked player in the class right now. He's ranked as a defensive lineman, but I think he could start on the outside and then see how he grows and maybe slide inside. You've got Americ Kumba, who's, you know, a French edge that has a bunch of really good athletic traits, and it's just about developing him and getting him, you know, that football technique down, which I think Mike Elston can easily do. You got Brooks Barr, who's been in the class for a while. I just think there's a lot of really solid defensive line guys and a good group to build on as well there.
Well, before we move on, let me talk about the offensive line too, since you just hit the D line. Because these guys that they got committed on the offensive line are no slouches either. Evan Link, the four-star offensive tackle from Washington, D.C. I like his upside quite a bit. He's 6'6", 290. He committed to Michigan back in the summer, And it was really between them and Penn State. So it's good that you were able to get him away from a Big Ten East competitor, and really like where he has, you know, just the potential that he has. I really like a lot. I think he is more so suited for the right tackle position than left tackle. Certainly can do both, but I think his contributions at the college level will probably come at right tackle. Amir Herring, the four-star in-state guy, he's also from West Bloomfield, can play guard, can play center, and he's just relentless. I mean, he just does not give up on plays. He is just, he could be a future captain, in my opinion. I really like his character. He's got a lot of grit on the football field. I just like him as a football player overall. And then Nathan Ifobi, another four-star, probably another interior guy, at 6'3 and a half, 282. Really like the potential that this offensive line class has. So in the trenches, they certainly knocked it out of the park. They, you know, they missed on a few guys for sure, but I really do like what they've got going on for the offensive and the defensive lines. Well, let's move on. And before we do, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, which is Manscaped, the best at men's below the waist grooming. And go check out the Performance Package 4.0, guys. I mean, I've been talking about this for months now at this point. You get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, waterproof, got that skin safe technology. It's just an incredible package. It comes with the Weed Whacker ear nose trimmer, and you get a free pair of boxers and a travel bag. You get so much stuff with the Performance Package 4.0. It's stellar stuff, guys. I'm not just saying this just because of the sponsor. I use this stuff pretty much every week, and it is phenomenal. Just really, really great material. And if that's not good enough for you, let's give you the promo code MNB20. You'll get 20% off your order. Go to manscaped.com. You get free worldwide shipping and 20% off with MNB20 at checkout.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
And welcome back, everybody. We are going to wrap up our 2023 early signing period podcast here with a discussion about the guys who did not sign early in this 2023 class. They are holding off until the traditional February signing day. So they've got about another month and a half or so to make up their mind, make their commitment, and sign their letter of intent. So the guys that did not sign during this December signing period, there are a few guys that are still left on the board for Michigan that they're still going after pretty hard here. And let's just start right off at the top of the ranked guys, at the very least, and that is five-star athlete Nicholas Harbor, one of the top players overall in this 2023 class. Michigan has been recruiting him about as hard as anybody in this class, but there are a few other suitors out there that are continuing to recruit him hard as well. Maryland is one of the teams that is surging as of late. He visited them very recently, and he's had some very glowing things to say about the Maryland football and track program, because he has aspirations of running track at the next level and also trying to get to the Olympics of running track. So he's got he is going all out for it, apparently, with this track stuff. So he wants to, because of that, wants to probably play on the offensive side of the ball more so than anything, try and preserve his body. He's a very high caliber edge prospect, but it seems like he wants to play either wide receiver or tight end. So I digress. Maryland going after him hard, South Carolina among the other programs near the top of his list. And then you've got a few Southern schools like LSU, Miami, and Georgia that are also kind of hanging around in this recruitment as well. So John, what do you think about this recruitment heading into the new year when it comes to Michigan's chances of landing him? I still think they got a good shot, but this one, it's kind of been all over the place. It seemed like Michigan led at one point, and Maryland has come on as of late. South Carolina was also one of the perceived favorites for a while. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, Michigan's always been the constant in this recruitment, which, you know, it doesn't mean guaranteed success. Like, it doesn't guarantee he's going to commit and sign with Michigan, but it at least gives them a shot at the very end of the day. What do you think about this recruitment heading into January and then the February signing day?
Yeah, I think Michigan fans kind of think Michigan has a lower shot with Harbor than they actually do, just given the timeline of his recruitment. Like you mentioned, Michigan started out really well and probably looked like they're leading. But then, of course, other schools did come into play here. And then, you know, you look at schools like Georgia, South Carolina, LSU, Michigan hasn't been able to win battles against those schools recently just with NIL. But I think Harbor's different. He understands that he'll be able to make a lot of money through endorsements, things like that, wherever he goes. And that's kind of what Michigan's pitch centers around, that once you get to campus, they'll take care of you. So I think Harbor understands that. I think he values academics. He has a lot of connections to Michigan's track program, which I think is really important because the other, you know, Southern schools especially do have really good programs that are probably better than Michigan's. But what really scares me right now, I'd say, is actually Maryland, with how Mike Locksley recruits the DMV, and he's pulled five stars from the area before. So I think the pull of staying home has been really strong lately. But we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting month or so in his recruitment. He just recently canceled a visit to Georgia. We'll see if Michigan could get him up on campus again in January. I think that would go a long way in securing his commitment.
Yeah, I think so too. It would be really nice to get him back for an unofficial, because he has not visited Ann Arbor since the month of September, when he came for the game against Maryland, one of his top schools of choice there. So yeah, to get him, just him, and really focus on him and roll out that red carpet for Nick Harbor, I think that would go a really long way in potentially landing him. So yeah, look for him to possibly visit in the next month or so. I think that would really be telling as far as his interest in the Michigan Wolverines. I think he has high interest in Michigan, but getting him back on campus, that would be huge for Michigan's chances of landing him in the February signing period. Let's go to another player who decided to forego the early signing day in December, and that is Jamel Howard. The three-star defensive tackle from Chicago, Illinois, was once committed to the Wisconsin Badgers, ended up decommitting about a month or so ago, and it seemed like Michigan was really surging in this recruitment, and he decided to just hold off until the February signing day. There are a few crystal balls in for Michigan right now, so the hope was that he was going to commit to Michigan and then sign during the early signing period. That obviously did not and will not happen, so he is choosing to kind of expand it a couple more months and try and figure out what he wants to do, whether it's go to Michigan, whether it's commit back to Wisconsin, or whether it's go somewhere completely different, because he's got a few other offers in his hands as well. So it really could go a few different ways, John, and I'm really curious to see where this one ends up going, because he would play the nose tackle position, and he would be quite the addition at the nose tackle position at 6'3", 320. Really big dude, and he would clog up running lanes in Michigan's defense, and that's kind of the type of defensive lineman that they're looking for. They're looking for bigger dudes as opposed to the smaller defensive lineman that they used to recruit under Don Brown. Definitely a change in that recruiting strategy. So Jamel Howard, he wasn't their first nose tackle of choice. They were trying to go after Cade McDonald. That one didn't end up working out, so they went after Jamel Howard. And they continue to go after Jamel Howard, but this one will bleed into February for his possible signature. What do you think about this recruitment heading into the February signing day?
I think this is definitely one that Michigan would have wished Howard had signed in the early period, because they had a lot of momentum as soon as he decommitted from Wisconsin, and even a little bit before. But now this extended timeline gives Wisconsin under Luke Fickell some time to win him back into the class. Obviously, he likes a lot about the campus and school. and program already if he was going to commit to them once. So that's something to be worried about. I also think Illinois is going after him hard. Brett Bielema is really pitching, staying home in the state of Illinois, and helping contribute to a team he really turned around in this season there as well. So Michigan's going to have to battle those two Big Ten West teams. That's another one that they may have, shot ahead a little too early, getting the unofficial and then an official pretty soon. I bet they were trying to push him to sign in December on that official visit last weekend, but they weren't able to do so. And now they're going to have to kind of wait it out and, you know, hopefully go in home with him and see if they can convince him to go to Michigan.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with everything you just said, especially they more than likely pushed for him to commit last weekend when he took that visit and just didn't work out. It's unfortunate that it's going to go into February, but it is what it is at this point. They still got a good shot, as does Wisconsin and Illinois, like you mentioned. One more player that I want to bring up here, and this guy is more of a recent prospect who's on the radar now, and that's Cameron Brandt. He is a 6'4", 260-pound defensive lineman from Chatsworth, California, currently committed to Stanford and has been committed to Stanford since July 30th. He is a three-star guy at 438 overall. He has elected not to sign with Stanford during this early signing period. A lot of that, I'm sure, has to do with the fact that David Shaw resigned. So the lack of all of that going on, I'm sure there's going to be some other coaching changes at Stanford. There usually is when a change in leadership happens. So he just wants to keep his options open. I think it's a smart move by him, whether he ends up going to Michigan or Stanford or otherwise. But reportedly, seems like he may visit Michigan in the near future during the month of January. That's at least what the folks over at 24/7 Sports are saying, which would be big. I think he is a solid prospect. He's on the border of, you know, high three-star, low four-star. So he would certainly be a welcome addition to the class. Definitely would not be the nose tackle guy like what Jamel Howard is, but nonetheless, a guy that Michigan is recruiting and has been recruiting since they offered him back on May 24th. So, John, just your real quick thoughts on Cameron Brandt and where this one may go. I'm really curious about this one because, like I said, more recent on the radar type guy, even though he's had the offer since the month of May, they didn't really push for him very hard after he committed to Stanford in July. And now it seems like they're going to continue to recruit him and possibly go all out for him if they get him up on a visit next month.
Yeah, you can never have enough good defensive linemen. So Michigan could really stack their class here if they end up getting him. You know, I think he just wants to keep his options open. Didn't have quite enough time to, I think, familiarize himself with the new Stanford staff. But I think they're good, putting together pretty good staff out there. But Michigan will have a good chance to kind of convince them otherwise and get some time. It's kind of the flip side of the Jamel Howard thing where they're probably glad to have more time here to work on him and try to get him to flip if he doesn't like the direction Stanford was going.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is I kind of think you nailed that. I actually with, you know, the whole Jamel Howard thing, it's like the inverse of that recruitment. They're going to try and hold off and see, you know, maybe they can get him on campus next month. Maybe they can get him to commit and end up signing in February. Would be a welcome addition to the class. And like you said, you can never have too many good linemen, whether it be on the offensive side or the defensive side. We'll certainly have to keep monitoring this one as the 2023 class goes into that traditional signing period in the month of February. But John, I'm going to toss back to you once more. Do you have any other final thoughts or hot takes or just anything as it pertains to the 2023 class now that we're kind of through the bulk of this one?
Not really. I think it was a pretty strange cycle for Michigan. But I think the transfers, combining this class with the transfers, I think is going to be huge And I think it's going to end up being fine. Could end up being another 2018 class where there's a lot of guys that may not be highly ranked, but fit the culture well and end up contributing down the line.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the easy comparison to make is the 2018 class where you don't have a top 100 guy at all, but there are certainly the types of players that you want in the program as far as quality of character and the quality on the football field too, even though they're not top 100 or even five-star guys. I think Etta has a chance to be a really, really good player at Michigan. I think Cole Cabana has a really good chance to be a really good player at Michigan as well, even though a lot of people are questioning his in between the tackles running. I think he's got a really good shot at being a really nice player at Michigan. I think he can and contribute early too, whether it's punt returning, kick returning, or if he gets into the rotation at the running back position. I think he's got a good shot as anybody to really contribute at a high level at the University of Michigan. But yeah, well, and you said transfers. I'm sure we'll talk about the transfers on this podcast at some point. We did not have any time to do it today just because of everything that happened in the 23 class, kind of for the most part wrapping up. But we will most certainly talk about those transfers, I'm sure, on a future edition of Future Brew. Well, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. You can follow John at @Simmons_John. Follow Mason Brew, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, our YouTube channel as well. We would appreciate you following those if you have not already. And subscribe to our podcast. You can download them wherever you get your podcasts. And 5-star reviews are certainly always appreciated as well. For John Simmons, I'm Vaughn Lozon. We'll be back next week with another edition of Future Brew.